Youth Lagoon mit The Noah Flux FM am Freitagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt Trevor Powers mit Band im schönen Musik und Frieden, das ja in den Räumlichkeiten des Magneten neu eröffnet wurde. Vorher hat das zu mir ins Studio geschafft. Wir quatschen über die Seelenverwandtschaft, die ihn und den Produzenten des neuen Albums Savage Hills Ballroom aufgrund tragischer Ereignisse verbindet. Wir sprechen über die therapeutische Kraft des Musizierens, die Wichtigkeit von Freunden in der Band und vieles mehr. Zunächst aber heißt es Hello Trevor.
How are you, my friend?
I'm totally
Winston.
Fine.
We are here. I'm good, dude.
Cool.
I'm good. I'm a little bit miserable, but I'm doing really good.
Where are you coming from today?
We're coming from last night we were in Amsterdam two nights ago.
I could have guessed, because that's the city people always tend to forget.
It's like, oh my God.
What was the name of the city again? It was such a smoky environment.
We ended up having some time off in Amsterdam, and so then we drove. So really yesterday we were in nowhere because we were just driving all day long.
Okay.
And then we ate a lot of junk food and got here super late in the night.
Thank you for that. Thank you for driving all day long just to make it here on time. I like that.
You know, Winston, that's for you, my friend.
Thank you. Congratulations on album number 3, Savage Hills Ballroom. It's a beautiful sounding EP. Inspired by the tragic death, though, of a friend of yours, I've read that producer Ali Chand was the right one to work with, not only because he knows how to handle sounds, but also because he himself had lost a friend about a year ago, and it was Nick Talbot, also known as Gravenhurst, who passed away in late 2014 while working with Ali, and that was something that was hard for him, I guess, too. So how important was, as a guy who's lost a friend, how important was having a soulmate in the studio? How did you support each other during that time?
Well, it was pretty separate events, because everything with my friend happened a couple years ago, you know, and I was still like, the album isn't about that, but it was also, you know, there's a lot of those ideas that bleed into what I was writing. Mm-hmm. And so it was very influenced by that. And so when I started talking to Ali, you know, I had been sending him song demos, and we had got the conversation started about recording, and then Nick passed away during that time, you know, which was like a couple months before I came out to Bristol.
Yeah.
So with Ali, it was a very fresh wound. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, he lost Nick like a few months before we started working together. So yeah, it was odd. It was odd to go through that together. But we connected a lot, you know, and we like sharing similar experiences, and we have a similar sense of humor and everything. So yeah, like there was an instant bond as soon as it got to Bristol, I felt.
Okay. And that's nice, actually. That's a good thing to have a bond between a musician and a producer. That always has to be there, I think.
Yeah.
Because you have to talk about the guy about very personal things, about
exactly.
your own music and stuff.
But you never really know until you show up.
Yeah.
So in our case, you know, we talked via online, like webcam and stuff, but I didn't meet him for the first time in person until I flew and went out to Bristol.
But then the magic happened, obviously, because it's a beautifully sounding record.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we got along great.
Yeah, you just told us that the songs aren't directly based on your friend's death, but you said that the tragedy kind of like inspired a shift in your mentality. How is that tragedy kind of like changed your perspective on life and maybe on your life as a musician in pop business as well?
I honestly don't know. There's nothing to really pinpoint exactly how it changed. I think whenever any big event happens, especially if it's traumatic, it shifts your creative perspective a bit, and it shifts every area of your life. And so, you know, my buddy that drowned, we have been friends since we were little kids, and I think when you have that hole that's missing, being an artist, you know, you start to shift things around a bit and you view things differently. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's like a specific way things changed, but I know it definitely impacted the record to a very high degree.
Yeah. I've read that you got into recording and programming a little bit more while working on this one. How did that shape the sound of the record, and how much did you learn about those fields?
I learned a ton. A lot of, really like 99% of all the programming was done just by myself in Idaho. And so, and that was a really long process. You know, I started getting into it like February of last year, and then worked on it for like, you know, some songs took like 3 or 4 months just to get the programming right. And yeah, it was just really eye opening to see like what all you can do through learning more shit that you don't already know how to do. So
sure. So are you gonna do, when you're starting to record your next album, do you think you're gonna put more work into that pre-production side and program stuff before you go into the
studio? Definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, even more so. There's already things that I'm learning that I want to know how to do better, but yeah. It's endless. It's a black hole.
Yeah.
And I'm going down it. Winston, oh, Winston.
And you've rediscovered your love for melodies on that album. That's a cool thing. And might that be a result of hanging around in sensory deprivation tanks? Because that's another thing I've read about, that you were doing a little bit of floating to concentrate on your music.
Yeah, a little bit of floating. My buddy from Boise started his own business where it's like a sensory deprivation business, which sounds insane. He's a maniac. So he offered me free sessions, so I started doing that just to get alone time and have my own.
And
like,
these are those tanks with salt water.
Yeah,
and
it's like salt
totally
water.
Dark.
You float in blackness.
Feel
basically
like
you can't
in the
see
belly
anything.
Of your mother again or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, essentially. And yeah, it's like a form of meditation. So I started getting into that, and it just helps you quiet your mind, especially someone like me. My mind is very active, and sometimes I need to turn it down a bit, and that helped.
Yeah, yeah. I think you told an interviewer that all those ideas that you have, they kind of like were more in order after you left those.
It makes you a bit more focused. Yeah. So when you come back to your house or wherever you write, you know, you kind of have more of a perspective on how you want to accomplish things.
Yeah, but I think it's a very futuristic image of an artist, you know? I'm like, I'm going to be creative in like 2.5 hours, but first let me step into my sensory deprivation tank. I will have to
float
a little
bit. I'm going to do some soaking, yes, exactly.
Now, before we talk a little bit more, let's listen to another song of your record, Youth Lagoon, hier nochmal mit Highway Patrol Stun Gun, ein Stück vom Savage Hills Ballroom Album, zu dem es auch ein ganz, ganz tolles Video gibt. Geht euch das ruhig mal im Netz angucken. Youth Lagoon, Highway Patrol Stun Gun. Youth Lagoon mit Highway Patrol Stun Gun auf Lux FM. Ich habe gerade noch ein bisschen History Channel gemacht hier und habe ein bisschen aus dem Fenster geguckt und die Mauer erklärt. Wir sprechen jetzt noch ein bisschen über die Platte von Youth Lagoon und dann werden wir noch Tickets verlosen für die Show heute Abend. The video to Highway Patrol Stun Gun is a beautiful video, but super sad. One can see a man with a mask who's obviously a friend of yours or who's probably standing in for the friend that you've lost. When I was watching it, there were some tears coming down my face. Really, really beautiful video. Was it sad for you to shoot that video? Because it must have been kind of like a fresher wound back then. Or
it wasn't. No, it wasn't sad.
It was fun, right?
We had a killer time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
No tears shed during the filming.
That sounds good to me. Would you say that working on the new album and touring the new songs had a therapeutical effect on you? Is it the tragedy that you've witnessed, is that something that you can talk about better now? Or is that a misconception?
Sure. It's been a lot of time, and I feel like people really blow out of proportion. I think the direct impact that death made, because it goes way beyond the album, you know, and I think there was a lot of, you know, like I said before, like it bled into the album, but it's not what the album's based around by any means. Like, it spawned a lot of ideas.
Yeah, but the choice of words is interesting in that fact too, that you say it bled into the album because there's blood involved, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So who's in the band now? Because I've read that you kind of like reorganized the band, that you wanted to have more friends in the band. Who's in there now?
So I have, there's a guy, there's two dudes from Boise that are buddies of mine. One, Richie Figgs, he's on bass. One is named Ukiah Bogle on drums. And then the other is a guy from LA that's a friend of ours named Ben Jones on guitar. And so, yeah, it's quite the group. We have a killer time.
Cool. Because now I really think that as an artist who writes his own music and who can choose the musicians he's on tour with, some people make the mistake and they look for the best guitarist that they can probably afford or something. And then they realize,
terrible.
he's an asshole. The vibe is destroyed.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, this is so much better.
Yeah, cool. And yeah, cool. And especially maybe for that record, it's cool to have some people from home.
Yeah, exactly.
With you, right?
Yeah, totally.
So I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show. It was great to be talking to you, and I want to give away some tickets real quick, but nobody's on the phone. Could you just freestyle a little bit and tell people about your new record and why they should come? Because I have to leave the studio right now.
Oh my God!
Mark is there. Mark, could you please tell Mark? Say hey, Mark. Please go to the telephone.
Hey, Mark. The telephone is waiting for you, my friend. Yeah.
We need to give away some tickets. Thank you. Ach, ist das schön. Heute Abend spielt Youth Lagoon im ehemaligen Magneten. Das Ding heißt jetzt Musik und Frieden. Und wer da vorbeigehen möchte, der kann anrufen unter der 030-2000-9000. 030-2000-9000 klingelt schon das Telefon. Insofern läuft alles. Thank you, Trevor.
Thanks so much,
Vincent. I'll see you again pretty soon. And as soon as you finish some new material or as soon as you come to Berlin, you just visit us again.
Yes,
you know where we are right
good.
Now.
I do.
Cool. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ben.